Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Words of Wisdom. I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It is always an honor and a privilege to be able to come before you, and I'm really excited because by not being with you guys on last week, it feels like I haven't been with you for a month. But God has seen fit, and we're together again tonight. And I give God all the praise, the honor, and the glory because he's worthy. God is such a good God, and he's worthy to be praised. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Jeremiah. And the lesson that's going to go forth on tonight is a familiar lesson to many of you. But we will see how God brings newness to his word each time it is shared when led by the Holy Spirit. We're coming from the book of Jeremiah, the 18th verse. The 18th chapter, verses 1 through 6. And the title of the lesson is, God is trying to tell us something. You know, the word of God was inspired by God, but written by 40 men from all walks of life. And God inspired each man with what he had in mind for the word of God for us even here tonight. The word of God is solid and is true, and you can never get enough of it. You can never visit it enough. You can never not read it enough. You can never not receive what God is saying in each letter, each line, each verse, each chapter. So with that being said, I'm going to play a song that's appropriate for the lesson. The title of the lesson is, The Potter Wants to Put You Together Again. After we listen to the song, we will come back and explore the Word of God together. And then we will go to the throne of grace. I'm so grateful to be back with you guys, and I thank God for this opportunity, and I thank God for each and every one of you who take time out of your busy schedule for us to come together with our Bible study. And as always, it is our Bible study. And at the end of the lesson, if you would like to say something, give words of encouragement, or tell a testimony, I encourage you to do that. So I'm going to play the song now, and I'll be back, and we'll explore the Word of God together. Listen, be blessed, and be prayerful for our Bible study, that the Holy Ghost would not let his Word return void.
Everywhere experimenting with unique healthy ingredients that
one minute the studio wanna do its own thing.
You are broken inside. You
Went off, and I guess I can pick it up back where it was.
I know the key.
And that song was The Potter's House. The record told us that everything we need is in the Potter's House. And it's a good record song that I selected for tonight, because the lesson is about God being the potter and we are the clay. You see, we're going to do a little background after we go to the throne of grace. If anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. It's prayer time, people. We want things to change, and we got to begin to pray, because everything, blessings, is in prayers. And this is an opportunity. So if anyone would like to pray, press the one button on your phone, and I'll open up the mic. Well, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again. You have allowed us to come together to explore your word. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity. I thank you for the platform. I thank you for the people. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that your word don't return void, and the Holy Spirit open up every ear, every heart, every mind to receive what you're trying to tell us in this lesson tonight. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for everyone that calls in. And I thank you for the people that listen on the internet. And I thank you for the people all around the world who take time to come and study with us in this Bible study. Lord, I realize that it's not predicated on me, but it's predicated on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I honor you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, and thank God. Well, as always, we do background. And tonight, we're in the book of Jeremiah, and some of the background is going to be about Jeremiah. Because if you could understand some of the characters in the Bible and how God dealt with them and realize what he did for them, he could do for you. Jeremiah is the author of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet that lived in the final days of the crumbling nation of Israel. You see, prophets were God's spokespersons. You know, God gave them a message to guide and to warn his people. God revealed his plan that was formulated before the foundation of the world to his prophets. And you might say, why? But if we look in the book of Amos 3 and 10, the scripture says that surely the Lord God does nothing unless he revealed his secrets to his servants, the prophets. And, of course, the prophets are supposed to give the message to the people. God don't want us to be in the dark, you know, and, you know, God wants us to know what he's doing, how he's doing, and even why he's doing it in this world. You see, the Bible reveals 17 books written by prophets. 12 of them are considered minor, and 5 are considered major. And you might be saying, how they are minor or major, you might think that one was more powerful than the other. But the major and the minor is determined by the amount of writing that the prophets did. So there's 5 larger books than the other 12, and that's why they call some of them major prophets and some minor. You know, many wonders if prophets are still here today. But we can't ignore all prophecy out of fear that it may be a false prophet. We should test them. In the book of Thessalonians 5:20-21, it says, do not despise prophecy, But it says, test all things. Hold fast what is good. You see, Jeremiah was only 17 years old when God called him. And he had great inner turmoil over the fate of his people. And he begged and begged and begged them to listen. You see, Jeremiah was still a young man when the spirit of prophecy came upon him. He was fearful to accept such a responsibility, declaring, I am still a boy. But God said to him, say not I'm a boy, for you shall go to all that I shall send you. Hallelujah. And whatever I command, you shall speak. Be not afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. That's in the first chapter of Jeremiah when God called him. Go back and check it out. You see, but this is a prime example that we could learn from, that where God guides us, he also provides for us. Wherever God sends you, the provision is already there waiting for you to come and walk into what he has assigned for you to do. And just like he told Jeremiah, don't be afraid, I got you. You see, from that moment, Jeremiah lost all fear and delivered his sad prophecies and warnings without the regards of any kings or strong men. Jeremiah is known as a weeping prophet. Jeremiah was a crier, y'all, because he cried tears of sadness, not only because he knew what was about to happen to the people, but no matter how hard he tried, the people wouldn't listen. You know, we have some members in our family or our friends, and we may not consider ourselves as a prophet, but we know if they keep traveling on the road that they're traveling, that, you know, the outcome is not going to be good. And we, you know, it saddens us because we truly know where it could end up. And besides that, if you're giving them words to help them to change, they refuse to listen. Furthermore, he found no human comfort. God had forbidden him to marry or even have children. Check it out in Jeremiah 16. And the scripture says, thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shall thou have sons or daughters in this place. And besides that, his friends had turned their backs on him. You see, people don't like to hear the truth. And they begin to walk away from, you know, when you, you know, begin to try to do it right. And you stop doing some of the things how some of the people that was with you begin to walk away. Can you imagine with Jeremiah telling them the doom and gloom that God is going to put down upon them if they don't change their ways? They didn't want to hear it. God knew that this was the best course for Jeremiah. Do you believe that God has an intended purpose for all of us? And he knows what ingredients are necessary for us to achieve it. See, you know, this just lets us know that everything ain't for everybody. You know, marriage is not for everybody. Singleness is not for everybody. Children is not for everybody. Come on, y'all. God knew that that was the best fate for Jeremiah. But you see, through his loneliness and isolation, Jeremiah sometime began to doubt God, this mighty man of God. So it happens to all of us. You're not a loner. In this world, this will happen. You see, but even in his loneliness and isolation, God was not through with him yet. Jeremiah preached for 40 years, and not once did he see any real success in changing or softening the hearts and the minds of the people who were stubborn, and it was idolatrous type people, and some was just plain evil. God say we should spread the word of God. We may never see the change in the lives of some people we witness to, but it is our responsibility to keep on sharing because we never know. This is a normal part of growing. Isolation, sometimes pain, even depression, disencouragement in our walk with God. It's a normal part of growing spiritually because our sinful nature fights against our new nature. You know, that's the flesh against the spirit. And as long as we live here on earth, I come to tell you tonight, the battles will never end, no matter who you are or what you do or don't do. And our lesson tonight is an analogy, and it is one of the most powerful analogies in the Bible regarding our transformation and sanctification in the Lord. And it's the analogy of a potter and the clay. God is illustrating his sovereignty over and in the lives of his people. The Bible says that God is the potter and we are the clay. It is up to God. This is what we got to get, y'all. It is up to God to mold, transform, sanctify us as we journey through this earthly life. It's never predicated on you. It's not always what you can do, but what you can do with Christ Jesus. The scriptures say, I can do all things through Christ, not without him. And God is letting us see tonight, and God is trying to tell us something tonight. So let us hear what the Spirit is saying. You see, whenever God gives us an analogy in the Bible, this means that we have to seek into the revelation of that analogy in order to pick up what he's trying to tell us with the analogy. It is always a divine revelation by illustration. I'm going to say that again. It is always a divine revelation by illustration. If we do, then we will see exactly what God is trying to tell us in reference to what he has just said. In other words, we have to find exactly how pottery is made, how the potter works with the clay to establish its expected end. If we want to fully understand what God is trying to tell us in this most incredible analogy, we must realize that God is the potter, and it's our responsibility to become the clay. Hallelujah. Jeremiah, I'm going into the scriptures now. I'm at Jeremiah 18, the first chapter, and I'm going to read the first and second verse. And the scripture reads as follows, for those who have your Bibles. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, verse 2, arise and go down to the potter's house. Now, this is God speaking to Jeremiah. You know, if you ever want to know God, you have to visit the Old Testament. You see, in the New Testament, when Jesus is speaking, the writing is in red. In the Old Testament, when God is saying something, it always says, from the Lord, or the Lord said. See, the first one said, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying. Now, we fixing to hear what God told Jeremiah. And if God told it to Jeremiah, you know, something in there is also for us. You see, what he told him, he said, "Go, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my word." So when we look at this, you know, Jeremiah, we're in the 18th chapter now, and verse chapters 1 through 17 was all about God telling Jeremiah what to tell the people because they had become so evil and idolatrous, and they was doing things they wanted to do. They were leaning to their own understanding. They was just having their way, and Jeremiah was telling them what thus said the Lord, and it was always about repent and turn around, you see, but this was when God sent them to the potter's house. You see, the time frame of the book of Jeremiah stretches from the prophet's call until his later life among the Judeans. That was the refugees, Judeans, refugees in Egypt until after the fall of Jerusalem. You see, they had came out of Egypt. They was doing what they wanted. God was still trying to have them to be his people. You know, the nations had been divided because of disobedience, and the tribe of Judah, which was only two of the 12 tribes, Benjamin and Joseph. Well, y'all tell me when we get to the end, because I'm not picking it up right now. Benjamin and Joseph. Well, anyway, there were two tribes, and one of them was Benjamin, and Jeremiah was from the tribe of Benjamin, and the other 10 persons with the tribes of Judah, of the 12 tribes. They were split, and they became the southern and the northern nation. And Jeremiah was speaking to the Judeans from the tribe of Judah. And God wanted Jeremiah to understand the lesson he was about to teach him. So he sent him to the potter's house to see what a potter do with clay. God wanted him to look at him as a potter, and he was showing him what he would do for his people if they would just become the clay. You see, the potter chooses the clay that can be used best for the vessel he desires to create. You see, once the potter has chosen the best clay for the job, he then places it on a wheel. Same thing, once we accept Christ as our Savior, we then become his children, and the wheels of our sanctification process begin. You see, the potter chooses the clay to be the best clay for the intended purpose and an expected end. You see, all clay is not suitable or plausible for all purposes. God chooses the right clay for the right job. That's why you could always say what God have for you is for you. But just like I said a couple of weeks ago, what God have for you is for you. And you say that with such, you know, joy that, you know, God is going to give you what is due you. But God also have work for you to do that's for you. You see, the potter then has to add water to the clay to make it flexible, adaptable, and soft enough for him to be able to accurately use it. If there is not enough water in the clay will remain too hard and rigid for use. In the Word of God, we are taught that the word water in the Bible is symbolic of the Word of God. So what God was telling him, he said, study my word. I'm the potter. I'm working with the clay, but you got to work with me, and you got to have enough words so you can understand and do what I want you to do and learn to be obedient, and then your expected end will be guaranteed. What this is telling us is that God cannot begin the sanctification process, which is to mold and transform us in this life, unless we are first willing to do our part. And Peter lets us know perfectly, because he said you got to grow in grace and a knowledge of God by studying his word. And we know 2 Timothy 2:15 says we should study to show ourselves approved as workmen. But you see, once there's enough water, once you have enough word in you, the clay is soft enough and ready to be worked. Come on now, y'all. More word, more work you could do, more maturity you have, more strength you have. However, if the piece of clay is not properly centered, the potter will not be able to work with it. You know how I tell us all the time that we have to stay in position? We have to be in position to receive all that God has for us. God may be telling you to go this way and you go that way. Sometimes he may be telling you it's time to pray, it's time to study. He might be telling you do this for that one or that for that one. That's when you're in position to be used by God. You see, we have to be in position to receive all that God has for us. Just like the potter cannot mold the piece of clay into a piece of pottery that he's trying to make unless it is perfectly centered in the middle of the wheel. In the same way, God cannot begin to properly work with us in this life unless we have been perfectly centered in him. Jesus has to become both our Lord and Savior. And at some point, we got to be committed. And we are being committed, and we are pressing more daily. It's a lifelong thing. You're not going to achieve angelship. You're not going to be so good to become an angel. You know, and God cannot love you more than he loves you now. Remember when we was wallowing in the miry and mickery mud of life, God came and scooped us up like the piece of clay. He then started working and molding and shaping us. That's why he said, come as you are. He don't wait till the clay get perfect and become a vessel in the ground. He scoops it up and work with it until he get the product that he's trying to produce. You see, what at some point in our lives, we have to say, not our will, but thy will. And we have to be willing to say, it's my all for your all. You see, once the clay is on the wheel, the right water is applied, and it is centered correctly in the middle of the wheel, that's when the wheel begins to turn. The wheel has to move slow and steady as it turns because the potter is always using his mighty hands to mold the clay. You see, if the wheel turns too fast, the lump of clay will tear completely apart before he can make it to the finish line. That's why God, you know, orchestrate the things in your life on a time frame and in a season. You know, sometimes some of the things you're looking for, you know, and you say, you know, why I ain't got it yet, because God knows it's not your time. You might not be ready. So we are being sanctified daily. The scripture said the race is not given to the swift and will not end when we die and will not end until we die or Jesus return for us. But we have to be patient with the Lord on how he wants to work and build our lives in him. You see, in this fast-paced, self-centered world we live in, We are used to instant everything. But we have to look at it in God's realm. He usually worked things out in his timing, not ours. And if we do not learn how to understand and use his time frame to our advantage, we could end up getting very frustrated and impatient, and then eventually end up losing out. Now, once the lump of clay is spinning on the wheel at the right pace, the potter takes his hand and push it down on the top of the clay to create an opening in it. If y'all have seen how potters work with clay, and if you don't, go and pull it up on YouTube and see a potter how he worked with the clay and see what God was trying to tell us in this analogy in the book of Jeremiah. You see, once this opening has been made in the top of the clay, the potter's hand then goes deep inside the middle of the clay as it is forming out. He then uses his hands to properly shape the piece of clay as it is building up, doing the work. There's another scripture if you look in the book of Philippians 2 and 13. See, he told Jeremiah, he's the potter, and he's using everything that a potter does with clay to show us that's how he's working in our lives. You know, Philippians 2 and 13 says, it is God working in you to will and to do his good pleasures. You see, his hands are working on both our inside and outside while he's molding, shaping, and transforming us for his glory. Y'all know everything God created was for his glory. You see, in the same way, God's own hand literally goes down deep into the middle of our soul and spirit, where the inter-sanctification work is actually done to mold and transform us into our expected end. But part of becoming the clay, we must learn to cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit. Since God is doing the actual supernatural work on the inside of us, it can become rather painful and unpleasant at times, since he will be removing all of the bad and negative qualities that he do not want us to have operating in our lives. You know, God take you from glory to glory. Come on, y'all. God strengthen you up more. And at the same time, he's instilling and imparting all of the good, positive, and godly qualities that he want us to have. You know, but sometime in this life, a good amount of pressure has to be applied. You remember the saying, no pain, no gain? You see, removing toxic qualities such as pride, ignorance, bad temper, and lust can be very painful due to our flesh, which is on our body, wanting to keep these negative qualities operating in us. And Satan, he don't want you to grow in grace. He don't want you to go from level to level. He don't want you matured, because, you know, an unmatured Christian is prey. Pray for Satan. You know, he could toss you around. He could put blinders on your eyes. He could make the truth seem like a lie. You know, the man with Donald Trump said the other day, the man said, well, that's the truth. He said, but the truth is not the truth. How far is this world going? God is telling us what a potter do is what he's willing to do with you in this analogy. God is trying to tell us something. You see, the potter knows what he wants the finished product to be with a design purpose. All of us have purpose. I come to tell you tonight, if you haven't found your purpose, it doesn't mean that God didn't impute one in you. Keep on pressing. Keep on praying. Talk to God and sit down and let God talk to you, because all of us have a design purpose. And you see, God knows our intended purpose before the foundation of the world. And I always have to go back to Jeremiah. And we in Jeremiah, so it's appropriate to say, because Jeremiah 29:11 say, and this is God speaking to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. That's how you know it's God talking. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. He said, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Not my words, the words that God told Jeremiah. You see, the potter cannot stretch the clay beyond its limit. If he do, the clay will tear apart and be completely destroyed. God gives all of us according to our ability. In the same way, the Lord wants us to press and go as far as God will take us in this life, in this specific calling in him. But we have to realize that there's another side to the two-sided coin. We have to make sure that we do not stretch ourselves beyond what God is calling us to do for him, or stretch into a position that he does not want us to be in. Y'all know some of them relationships you're in, keeping you out of position with God. Maybe what you're doing with your money, or maybe what you're doing with your time, or maybe how you're treating people. You see, God knows what each one of us is capable of doing, and he never asks us to perform something that he knows we are incapable of doing it. So you don't have to worry about that. You see, because God never sets us up to fail like the devil does. You see, the potter has to keep his eyes on the clay. God is letting us know when he gives this analogy, he lets us know that his eyes are always on his children. And he will never leave or forsake you. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care what you've been through. God is still working it out together for your good. And be patient and allow him, because he's working it out. And if you stick with him, you will understand by and by. You see, the potter then takes a knife and cut off the excess clay that had accumulated around the pot as he's molding it on the spinning wheel. This is part of what God was talking about, circumcision. You know, Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the law or the things of the Old Testament, but I come to fulfill them. You see, it was necessary for the Jews to be circumcised, and that's what God had in place at that time. But in the fulfilling of the, hallelujah, in fulfilling of the law in the New Testament, here we see that he is circumcising our heart, removing the fleshly things and smoothing out the rough edges. If you look in the book of Colossians, the second chapter and 11 verse, it says, I whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcisions of Christ. Here we see that God, that Jesus fulfilled the law of circumcision. He made it a more excellent way. He made it where it could be more personable. You see, they circumcised the Jews with their hands, and this one God's gonna use the Holy Ghost, and Jesus is gonna circumcise our heart. You see, in the same way, God is always pruning and rearranging and arranging us so that we can handle the next matters in our life. You see, after the pot or the vessel or the vase or the plate is completely dry, it's ready to be fired. You see, this initial firing removed the water so that the piece can be glazed without returning to mud and breaking up. Once we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are glazed with the blood of Jesus to be kept and help us from turning back to our old nature. You see, and then there's a second firing. And after the second firing, the vessel is ready. God say he will try us in the fire. But he guarantee that if we allow him, we will come out as pure gold. You see, the fire is our trials and tribulation that God uses to get us in a matured position to be used. And if we look at the last verses, 3, 4, 5, and 6, now watch this. It says, I went to the potter's house. This Jeremiah talking now. And behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. In verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in his hand, the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make. Fifth verse. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, and then God spoke to Jeremiah in verse 6. He said, O house of Israel, can I do with you as the potter, saith the Lord. That's God speaking. And he's telling each one of us. He's trying to tell us, can I work in your life as the potter work with the clay? And then it says, behold, as the clay is in the potter hand, so are ye in my hands, O house of Israel. And I close with this tonight. As the potter mold a shape, a clay vessel on the potter's wheel, you know, sometimes defects often appear. The potter has the power over the clay to either permit the defect to remain. You know, that's, and I guess all I could think about when I read that was with Paul. You know, Paul had something that was weighing him down, and in the scriptures he said he went to God 3 times, and yet God didn't remove it. Hallelujah. Look what it says. Sometimes there's a defect, and a potter can leave it there, or he could remove it because he's totally controlled. But Paul kept going to God about the thorn in his side, and he went 3 times, and 3 times God told him no, I didn't remove it. And God told Paul, my grace is sufficient. That's music to my ears, because all of us have defects, if we want to say it or we don't, if we believe it or not. You see, likewise, God has the power to reshape us to conform to his purposes. God is in total control. You see, These was trying times in Judah. Although Jeremiah's message was one of impending judgment, he also delivered a message of great consolation. The returning, repentant exiles would constitute a promise of a great gathering of God. If you read the books of prophecy, God always say, you know, because you're doing this, I'm going to do this. He said, but if you turn around, this is how I'm going to bless you. Every word of wrath came with a promise of restoration. Come on, y'all. And God saying that, you know, he gave a great promise of a great gathering of God's people to himself for the Messiah's everlasting reign. I come to tell you tonight, Jesus is coming back. But while we are here on earth, God is telling us not to worry. He is the potter, and we are his clay. And our strategy should not be to become mindless and passive, which is one aspect of clay, but to be willing and receptive to God's impact on our lives. You know, just like God did the parable, the Lord is my shepherd. God was trying to ask us to be like a sheep. And, you know, a sheep is not a smart animal. A sheep is not a wise animal. A sheep can only be led. And he used the sheep to show us, just like he's showing us the clay tonight, to say this is how he wants us to be, because he's in control. You see, as we yield to him, he will begin reshaping us into the valuable vessel, a great piece of art. And I want to tell you, there's not a piece of pottery that was ever made all the way from the Old Testament, and they used potteries. They made pottery a lot because it was the sign of the times. And, you know, we do it, you know, people do it nowadays, but there's never been a piece of pottery that is exactly alike. There has never been a piece that has come out exactly alike, and there will never be a piece that will be exactly alike, which lets us know if God's telling us he's the potter and he's going to mold us into the vessel, then, you know, I'm me. There's no two me's. And this is the way that God wants me to be. And that's how you could thank God for who you are. You see, let Jesus fix it for you. He knows just what to do. Whenever you pray, let him be the potter and you become the clay, and he will fix it for you. And we have to tell him by being the clay, not our will, but thy will. And at some point, we got to surrender, and we have to say, it's all of me for all of you. And that's our lesson tonight. I pray that God's word don't return void. I pray that this lesson helped you. I pray that it will prick your interest where you may want to go study up on it some more, because that's what the word of God is all about. There's no way 1 hour on Wednesday a week that everything could be explored upon. But, you know, when you get two things under your belt, God throw in three for land, yeah. So the more you get, the more he gives concerning himself. You will never know who you are until you know who your maker is. And tonight God was just giving us an analogy as of himself being the potter and we being the clay. If anyone would like to make a comment, please press the 1 button on your phone. If anybody have a testimony, want to share words of encouragement, anybody want to tell me the other tribe that was with Benjamin, with the 12 tribes of Israel, you could press the button on the phone. And I know Benjamin and Joseph was the two brothers, and they might be Judah, because the Judah is the name of the tribe that was split. But two of the tribes went to the northern or the southern, and the 10 tribes went the other way. They broke up because they just couldn't get it together, just like our churches is breaking up today. I have a caller. Your number is 504-430-4848. Your mic is open.
Good evening, Minister Diane. It's so good to have you back. We truly missed you last week. This has been a wonderful lesson. And Judah is the other tribe. It was Benjamin and Judah. You ask us to read the whole 18th chapter of Jeremiah. I was surprised and so glad as usual. Wouldn't have ever thought Jeremiah was only 17 years old. That was good to know. But I also, if you could, this was not in the verses that you came from tonight, but in the 23rd verse, I read the whole 18th chapter as you asked us to do. I was just wondering if you could explain that 23rd chapter to me, because I'm somewhat confused.
And you have your Bible, you could read it?
Yes, I can. It
okay.
It says, but you know, O Lord, all their plots to kill me. Do not forgive their crimes or blot out their sins from their sight. Let them be overthrown before you. Deal with them in the time of your anger. And to me, this seems sort of different from what we usually hear with the forgiveness and the peace. And I just need some enlightenment on that.
Well, at the moment, Jeremiah was saying that, you know, these people is just so bad. I'm going to give you another a scenario to it. You remember when God sent Jonah to the people in Nineveh, and Jonah
yes.
refused to go because he didn't want them saved? It was one of
mm-hmm.
them moments. But, you know, and you know how sometimes people do us so wrong, and we want God to get them? We all have them moments. And that's where Jeremiah was at that time, you know. And he wanted to forgive him, but you know, he used that because they was just so horrible. But you know, and everything else that he did, you know how you get a moment. He was in a moment. It's the best way I guess I could say it.
Thank you so much, Minister Diane, and again, welcome back. And we're so glad to have you back.
And I could tell you some other ones just to see. And it's telling you, too, even though Jeremiah was a powerful man of God and God used him to be prophecy, we all human. If you read the book of Psalm where David wrote, David said, take care of my enemies, you know, destroy them, you know, and things like that, because, you know, they beat and did so bad for him. So that was just a part of his humanistic side. When he, you know, asked God to don't forgive them. They don't deserve to be forgiven. You know, take care of them because they're trying to kill me, you know. And God probably, I tell him, you know, they didn't say what God answered him, but God probably told him, I'm a forgiving God. And if they repent, and they ain't going to kill you because I got you, you know, like that. But he was in his moment. And we see so many other men and women of God, you know, being in that moment because of all of the persecution and opposition that comes our way. You know, we sometimes get tired, and we don't even want God to bless some of the people for some of the things they've done. Now, that's like praying for Donald Trump, Come on now. They got people who say they just wish he just be. Some people say somebody need to suit to what they do to assassinate him. You know, and some Christians saying, you know, he need to be removed or he need to pay for his sins, you know. But through it all, God is faithful. But Jeremiah was human, and he was tired, and he was lonely. Remember, he didn't have a wife. He didn't have a children, and his friends had turned their backs on him.
Thank you so much for that enlightenment.
Thank you, Sister Joyce. And I'm glad to hear your voice. Is there anyone else who would like to say something? We have time. Caller, your number is 678-598. Your mic is open.
Yes. Also, Jonah didn't want to go because he knew the Lord was going to forgive him. He's like, why waste my time? Go on and talk to these sinful, evil people when I know you're going to forgive them because God is a forgiving God. Even Cain, after he killed Abel, he asked God for a hedge of protection. And we don't know what the mark is, but God put a mark on him that no one would kill him. And that's the God we serve. He's forgiven. He's so forgiving. And that's just a lesson we have to learn. When people do us wrong, we have to still, you know, have the same compassion that God have on us and forgive them also.
Right. Right. And you know, Jeremiah knew. But, you know, sometimes we just express what we have to say, and sometimes we have to say, God, forgive me for saying that. Because I know one time in my life I'm not going to go into it, and we do have time, so if somebody else want to talk, don't think because it's 9:30 you can't. But there was one time in my life that I had a relationship, and it was horrible. And I'm going to tell you the truth. You know, I used to sit down and say, Lord, can you let that car go off the side of the bridge? Because I was just so hurt. You know, Lord, you know, break them down. Don't let their left leg work. You know, all of these kind of things that you say. But God came and he spoke to me and he said, you know, just like I forgive you, you know, there's forgiveness. But in that situation is where I learned a beautiful lesson, because I think plenty of people in the world don't understand this. God told me that I had already forgiven the person, and I did not have to live with the person, especially in black relationship. If someone do somebody else wrong and they forgive them, that means you got to go back together. But that is not the case. You could forgive and move on. I had forgiven, and I kept saying all these time and things, and God knew my heart, and he stopped me in my tracks. He said, I'm going to handle with this, because vengeance is mine, said the Lord, and you got to reap what you sow. Not that I was putting no sins on a person, but their action is going to have consequences. But God said, I got to handle it, and I can't handle it until you let it go. That was revelation. So when I'm so glad that Sister Joyce, you know, asked the question so we could see we human and we have our moments, but then God leads us to where he wants us to be. And his hand is even on us in our time of trouble. And you see, it was one time in the book of Jeremiah when you be reading, you got to see that he had, you know, lost faith a little bit. You know, he had began to wonder and not be as solid as he could be. And that was some of the words that came out of his mouth at that time. And thank you so much, Sister Paula, for your comments. I have another caller. Caller, your number is 904-609. Your mic is open and you could speak at this time.
Hey, how you doing? And I'm grateful for you. I have learned a lot from you, and I appreciate my Mama Pam for turning me on to this line. But I have a question, and I need you to clear up something for me because, you know, I'm learning to understand through you. So
hallelujah.
You said that I heard you said something to one of the sisters earlier. You were like, probably. And I just need to understand what you mean probably about, I thought God would do it. It's not probably he going to do it.
Well, I don't remember. Do you remember what the comment was spoken
on? It wasn't the one just, it was the sister before the one just hung up. And you told her probably that he will. So I just want to understand where you're saying.
Okay. I don't remember exactly what it was, but this is the point. God does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for whoever he
mm-hmm.
wants.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Jeremiah couldn't have a wife. You wouldn't believe that God would do that. But that's the course that God has for Jeremiah. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So
I got you. I'm with
when
you.
I don't know where it was said, but I think when the lady, the scripture she gave, it was at, that was the last scripture on the chapter.
Right, right. That
and that's when Jeremiah.
Well, he probably will, you know.
Yeah. What I probably was saying, or I probably meant, was that that was at the end of the chapter. So God probably talked to Jeremiah as he talked to us to realize that there still have to be forgiveness. God probably, you know, strengthened Jeremiah to get him out of his funk. You understand? The Bible does not give every detail. Come on now, you know where I'm going?
I got you.
Yeah, so when I say probably,
okay, so
and
you cleared it up, and I appreciate you, and I'm just so happy to be on here, and I appreciate your lessons and your teachings, and I'm still learning, I'm going to continue to learn.
Okay.
And I appreciate
and part of the, and thank you so much, sir. Part of the lesson, and let me just tell you this, because some people are new on the thing. Even though I explored the Word of God, and I try to put clarity in it. I don't know everything, and that's why I give you guys so much opportunity to come in with me. And that's why I try to tell you to read, and that's why I search so much background and try to use things that are true. And
all right.
Okay, and then.
I got you. No, I'm just
yeah,
saying.
You see
I
them,
got,
but
I,
when
that's
I
why I
keep,
love being on here. I just
all
want
right.
you to clear it up for me. That's it.
Yeah, and I said that God probably, because I had to say probably because I don't know what he would do in that case, because I wouldn't think he wouldn't let the man get a wife. But he did, because the scripture said he knew the best course for him. You know, the man might have wanted children. You know how some women looking for a husband
right.
and some husband looking for a woman, and they get, why
correct,
I can't
correct,
get a man?
Correct.
And look at what he did with Jeremiah. I'm trying to show you how you do things with people that it could also be done with you.
Right.
And it doesn't take
I get
away
it
from
now.
God.
No, I get it now.
Yeah.
I didn't understand
right.
at first. That's why I mashed the button to ask.
Yeah. So that's
thank you so
what
much.
It was. And I'm so thankful for you guys. But this is what I wanted to say, and I'm going to move on. In life, they say if you teach a man to fish, he'll eat for one day. But if you teach a man how to fish, he could eat for life. Even though I expound on the Word of God, I'm giving y'all tools to learn how to study, how to see God for who he is, how to see Jesus. And then you could start teaching because you're going to say, I know how God is. I know what God will do because he did it for some.
Amen.
He'll do it for you. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, darling.
So I'll be here next Wednesday.
I thank God for you. Thank you.
No, I thank God
I have
for
another.
You.
Thank you as well. I have another call at 715-46. Your mic is open.
How you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing fine, and you?
Just fine. I was listening, and I know he got the concept, but the thing is, the scripture says in the New Testament, that if everything was written, the world couldn't contain the books. So the scripture, so much was written that we would get that God sent his son Jesus to die for us and to redeem us back to the cross, and that we as the believers have a work to do. But if everything was recorded that took place, the scripture said a world couldn't contain books.
Right. Hello, caller.
It's just a blessing to hear you back. I hear you.
Okay.
You hear me?
And, you know, and then whenever y'all hear me say probably, it's not like I'm saying, and this is what God did. You know, maybe
right.
He did this, and probably he may have done that. Because he always taught forgiveness, so he would have told him and, you know, brought him up to his job. But all of us have our weak moments, and we turn around from them, you know, with God. So are there any other callers would like to make comments? And y'all got me fired up tonight because, you see, I tell you all the time, this is not my Bible study. This is all of our Bible study. And when everybody interject with the word of God, I might miss it. I'm not the smartest tool in the shed. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who could save anybody. And I need all of your input. I need all of your prayers. I need all of your whatever. I need it all for me and all for each other. And that's how we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would anybody else like to say anything? Whatever, anybody like to give words of encouragement? Anybody have a testimony? Anybody would like to say anything? If not, I would ask that someone please lead us out in prayer. So if you can lead us out in prayer for tonight, you could press the one button on your phone and I'll open your mic. Anybody would like to lead us out in prayer? Now, Sister Leary, your mic is already open. Well, it's not open. I'm going to open it. And I don't know if you press the one button, but I know you. And I know you're a prayer warrior. And I could say you probably going to do it. So, Sister Leary, could you please lead us out in prayer?
I can. God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for this afternoon, Lord God. We thank you because your word said, in all thy getting, get understanding. And we thank you for understanding, God, for opening up our understanding, Lord God. We thank you for giving us revelation knowledge of your word, Lord. Oh, God, we just bless your name this evening. God, we pray for Sister Diane that you would increase her all the more. God, we thank you for every believer that's on this line, Lord God, because you say that we draw strength one from another and that we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, God, we just come right now praying for those that need strength, Lord God, praying for those that need deliverance, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray right now for those that have lost loved ones, Lord, for those that need a heart binded up. We bind up the broken heart right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And God will give you the honor. We give you the praise. We give you the glory because you're worthy of it all. You sent your son Jesus to redeem us. And we thank you for redeeming us back to you, oh God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the Lamb that came to take away the sins of the world. God, we give you reverence this evening. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for opening up our understanding, Lord God. We thank you because your word said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for giving us the mind of Christ, for giving us understanding. Oh, God, we just bless your name, and we give you honor and praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray right now that everyone rest in you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Till we meet again next Wednesday, God, we just give you glory. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Sister Elyria. And I was able to call on Sister Elyria because I knew she probably would do it because I know Sister Elyria. And when we learn who God is, we kind of know how he would do, and we give, you know, space for him doing it the way he want to do. because he is God. But he say he never change. So with all of that being said, I thank each and every one that called in. I thank the persons with the question and those who interject with the word, because this is how we get strength from one another. With all that being said, God be with you until we meet again. And let the church say amen, and God be with you. It's my prayer. I love each and every one of you, and I thank God that if he allows it, we'll be back on next week. Thank you. Be blessed and pray for one another. One of our Bible study persons, mother died last week, week before last. And I want y'all to pray for her family. I've been lifting them up. And I want all of y'all to pray, because it's one of our sisters in Christ on our line. Her mother passed. So lift her family up. Her name is Flash. Lift Flash and her family up in prayer. In Jesus' name. And with that being said, I tell you good night. God loves you, and so do I. Be blessed.